recency bias can be a dangerous thing, especially when you consider how the Lady Balls have looked the last handful of games. And if we're being honest, that's starting to grow a little bit of concern around this program and whether or not they'll be able to get out of this funk. And now that they're playing in the first round of the SEC tournament for the first time since 2009, the only way they get out of this funk is to win their way out of it. Thankfully for them, though, they are taking on a team that they've beaten once already this regular season. But how does that matchup look a couple months removed? I'm Paige Dower. This is the Field Pass on Full Disclosure. Tennessee's road in the conference tournament certainly isn't an easy one when you look on their side of the bracket. Of course, for them, they do take on a team that they've beaten once already this regular season. That will be number 16 seed Texas A&M as the Lady Balls enter as the 9 seed. They meet tomorrow morning, bright and early, 11 a.m. Should they defeat the Aggies in round one, their next two opponents are against teams that they've not beaten, and that's against Vanderbilt and then potentially South Carolina should they make it to the quarterfinals. After that, the four potential teams that they could face in the semifinals would either be Arkansas, Georgia, Oklahoma, or Kentucky. They only have one win over those teams, and that would be Arkansas. So certainly not a favorable road for the Lady Balls when you look at the win losses from the regular season. But before we get into like all the hypotheticals and get ahead of ourselves, let's look at the team that they are playing, the one game that they are guaranteed in the SEC tournament, and that would be Texas A&M, who they defeated on January 2nd. They got a 91-78 win over the Aggies, and I'm sure a lot of the components that led to that win, Tennessee would like to replicate here in this game. It might be a tall task, as we've not really seen this version of the Lady Vols a lot here in the regular season. Only a couple of times have we seen certain numbers reappear in the SEC schedule for the Lady Balls, i.e. the rebounding margin that they had against the Aggies was plus 10. They've only had a plus 10 margin when it came to the rebounding battle three other times this season. It came against UConn, Alabama, and I believe also Arkansas was the other team. It was. And of course, you know, one player who was a key contributor in that win and in the rebounding battle was Talaysia Cooper. She had 16 points, two steals, and about 20 or so minutes of play. But right now, they're the status for her is still unknown. The chances of us understanding like what the final status is won't come until a couple of hours before tip-off on Wednesday. So that is something that we will keep an eye out for. And definitely subscribe here because I will be in Greenville. So I'll be able to kind of give you that play-by-play and up-to-the-minute kind of update on this team and what it looks like. Also, a question I have for you guys is the post-game reports that I'll be able to do, we get unique access in the locker room where we get to kind of interview the players one-on-one. Would you guys like for me to incorporate that into my post-game report or have it be a separate segment where it's just on the bonus tab on the homepage? So I guess the question is, combine the locker room interviews to my post-game report or have it as a separate type of content in the bonus tab? So let me know what you guys think on that because I definitely want to get you guys something that you all enjoy. But let's go ahead and look at the rebounding battle. I think that's certainly a key to the game for Tennessee. And has been a key for them a number of times this season when you look at the types of wins that they've been able to get. I mentioned the three other times that they were able to get the plus 10 margin, and that came against Arkansas when they had plus 17, UConn plus 12, Alabama plus 14. When we look specifically to Texas A&M, it was plus 10. Tennessee had 39 rebounds. The Aggies had 29. Of Tennessee's 39 rebounds, 21 came from the offensive rebounding efforts. That led to 23 second chance points. So that certainly opened this game wide open in their ability to be physical, to be aggressive, especially in the paint, which we'll get to a little bit later. But someone that Tennessee certainly needs to up their game a little bit is their rebounding leader. It's Zee Spearman. She gets about 6 rebounds a game. That's exactly what she got that night in a win against Texas A&M. They will certainly need that from her, but maybe even a little bit more, especially since we don't know the status definitively on Talaysia Cooper, because she's next on the list with about like 5.2 rebounds a game. So who will be maybe that next person to step up on the list indicates that it would be Ruby Whitehorn, but you probably want your size players to be someone that is contributing a lot of rebounds. That needs to be Jillian Hollingshead. I mean, she only averages about 3 rebounds a game with her length and size. She needs to provide a greater presence for the Lady Vols should they have success in the postseason in SEC play. So they have got to find a way to make sure that they are setting up types of, whether even if it's just on offense, maybe she can't contribute a ton on defense for whatever reason, but if it's just on offense, they've got to find certain sets for Jillian so that she's in the right spot to grab those rebounds. You think you maybe too would want her on defense because of how much Texas A&M loves those paint points, as I continue to tease to my last takeaway or key to the game. I think what else helped Tennessee capture their 13th straight win against Texas A&M was they had 4 players in double-digit scoring. Jewel Spear, of course, led the way. She had like 5-plus triples in that game, but I think what led to Tennessee having so many scorers in that game was their ability to share the ball. They had great assists, they had great ball movement, and they had great individual movement in that game. They weren't standing around like statues, which we've heard Kim Caldwell describe the team a number of times, maybe using softer verbiage to describe their, you know, stillness. On offense, I think if they can find a way to be more active is probably the best word on offense, I think that gives Tennessee a great chance to have efficiency on offense, because they had one of their better productions against A&M that night, both in field goal percentage and three-point percentage. They were above 45%. There's only been a couple of times in SEC play where they've been above that margin or met that margin this regular season. They've been at least 40%, or the last time they were at least 40% in both categories from the field and three was against Ole Miss. But the last time that they were at least 45% in both categories, like they were against Texas A&M, was several games ago against Texas. In fact, they were 50% in both of those categories, and it ended in a loss. So you obviously can't have one without the other, right? You can't have high scoring without some good rebounding effort. So those two definitely need to be complementing each other. You don't want to have all of this effort on offense and then not be able to get stops on defense, which has plagued this team these last, you know, 3 games, if we're being honest here, if I give you the full disclosure on things. And I think that's also what they were able to do in the first half against Texas A&M, save them in the second half. They entered half with 22-point lead. That obviously got closer to like 10 towards the end of the game. And as Kim recalls that game, she says, Texas A&M just ran out of time. We didn't have any answer on defense. I don't know what we were doing, but they just ran out of time. And that's how they ended up getting that 13th straight win on the season. So I think when you kind of maybe then flip to the final key to this game, obviously you want rebounding, you want good ball movement on offense to hopefully open up some good shots for you to take advantage of, it will come down to what they do against Texas A&M's leading scorer. She had 20 points against the Lady Vols in that matchup. AC is her nickname as she goes by, and I think what saved Tennessee in that game was she was in early foul trouble. She was on the bench for a lot of that first half and was not able to contribute to the team, obviously, so Tennessee went on their massive run to close the first half. She gets back into the game in the second half, and she ends up ending the game with 20 points, 3 blocks, and 26 minutes of play. AC averages 13 points a game. She was well above her averages in a number of categories against the Lady Vols. What she does is what her team does really well, and it's their paint presence. They don't average many threes a game. She doesn't average many threes a game. As a team, they only average about 4 triples a game. So what I think they need to do is crowd the paint. I think they need to have all of the bodies somewhere in the field goal range to try and limit their chances to get field goal buckets, right? They average or they shoot about 40% from the field. Tennessee almost needs to kind of just set up a defense that begs them to take 3-pointers. I'm kind of okay if Tennessee just lets them take the threes at will, you know, kind of what Florida did to Tennessee men's basketball in the first meeting was, we're just going to beg you to take some threes. And Tennessee did not do very well with that type of defense guarding them. So I think the Lady Vols could probably do something like that against AC and the Texas A&M Aggies. Again, they aren't very strong from the three, so your best chance is to close the lanes to the rim, get in the right spots to get defensive rebounds, and then hopefully limit their second chance points. I think that those defensive stops that they've been missing these last handful of games is something that they could find again here against Texas A&M, get back on the win column, and then make it to the second round of the SEC tournament. I think if they do those three things, I make it sound really easy. I hope it's really easy once they get to game time, but they have all the pieces. We have seen them win these types of games. We have seen them be, you know, competitive in their matchups. There's no reason why that doesn't and can't get reignited on Wednesday morning. You're back up against the wall, and Kim talks about legacy all the time. It's been pretty disappointing these last three games, despite Florida being a win. That game shouldn't have been close. The game against, you know, Ole Miss really shouldn't have been close, despite what they've done to end their, you know, regular season against LSU. But Tennessee is a great team. They've shown flashes of it. I know they talk about it being tough to focus when they have a player going down like Talaysia Cooper, but you hope she is healthy enough and she will, you know, be there at some point in the SEC tournament. But if not, you got to have players like Zee Spearman step up, Jillian Hollingshead, Ruby Whitehorn, really everybody just has to step up tenfold. But again, I will be there in Greenville, so I hope you guys subscribe to the channel so you don't miss out on that coverage. It should be a good time. Hopefully it's a long stay. But until then, I will talk to you guys tomorrow, probably around the same 2:30, 3 o'clock time with their early tip-off. But yeah, let me know in the comments what type of post-game report you prefer. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.